government says Deutsche Bank has some explaining and paying to do for risky lending practices.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. In a little more than an hour, the Justice Department will outline the charges it brought against Deutsche Bank and its mortgage subsidiary. The U.S. today filed suit against the German giant bank for making a ton of money from knowingly lending money to people who were unable to pay that money back. Courtney Comstock is with Business Insider. She's with us from New York right now. Good morning, Courtney.
Good morning.
What kind of allegations are we talking about here?
We're talking about allegations that Deutsche Bank lied to a government-funded program that would put their money behind mortgages. And what the government is saying is that Deutsche Bank just stamped their approval on these mortgages and sent them to the government in order for the government to back them without making sure that the lenders could pay back the mortgages. And now the government is suing them for $1 billion because they are left with all of these mortgages that the lenders just couldn't pay them. Deutsche Bank did no due diligence, they say. And the government's left, you know, with a big black hole of debt, and they hope that Deutsche Bank's $1 billion will pay it.
How has Deutsche Bank responded to these charges?
I think they were a little blindsided by it, because all that we've heard, the comment that we're getting out of Deutsche Bank, is that they've seen the charges and they're reviewing them. So they haven't made a comment yet, and we will just have to wait to see what that will be.
I'm curious, Courtney, does this extend farther than just Deutsche Bank, or do U.S. attorneys have their eyes on other banks and lenders too?
It's hard to tell, but after Goldman Sachs, it seems like Deutsche Bank was the next most egregious in how they handled the mortgage crisis. And so I would suspect that they're just going down the line and somebody will be next.
Courtney Comstock with Business Insider in New York. Courtney, thanks.
Oh, yeah, sure. Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now. The S&P down a little. The NASDAQ off about 0.5%. The Dow up 21 points at 12,828. The Commerce Department said today factory orders for industrial equipment and computers rose slightly in March. Profit at agricultural firm Archer Daniels Midland rose by more than a third thanks to corn processing and agricultural services. Brewer Molson Coors said profit fell more than 20% there, blamed on higher costs for ingredients and for gasoline. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner is working some accounting magic. That's going to give Congress a few more weeks to negotiate a deal to raise the nation's debt ceiling. Now, Geithner says the government won't default on its debt until August 2nd. His fancy footwork starts this Friday, and Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is with us live to talk about what he's got up his sleeves. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So how did the Treasury Secretary do this? I mean, I thought the old deadline of July 8th was pretty firm.
Yeah, that's what everybody thought. But Geithner actually got a little help from you and me, Steve, the taxpayers. It seems the IRS actually took in more tax revenue than it expected last month. I talked to Harvard economist Kenneth Rogoff about this.
And they never know quite how much is going to be rolling in. So this was a small bonanza that gives them enough cash to go for a little bit longer.
All right, so the government, Nancy, has more cash, but there's more to it than that, right? I mean, isn't Secretary Geithner moving money around to make it last a little longer?
That's exactly what he's doing. And Steve, it's important to remember that Geithner isn't actually solving any problems. All he's doing is buying time. The first thing he'll do this Friday is stop a program that allows state and local governments to tuck money away into special government securities that pay a set interest rate. Cities and states aren't allowed to invest in, say, a hedge fund, which is probably a good thing. So this is where they put their money to keep it safe. But by closing off this program, the Treasury has one less thing on its balance sheet. And Geithner is also doing some other things. He's going to siphon some money out of two federal pension funds. And all of this frenzied tap dancing will give Congress almost a month more to bicker over the budget.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington. Nancy, thanks.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. and by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
This week, Japan's parliament approved its first big investment to offset damage from March's earthquake and tsunami. The relief package tops $49 billion. But that is only a fraction of the hundreds of billions of dollars the disaster could wind up costing the country and the economy there. Marketplace's Scott Tong has more on the challenges ahead for Japan.
What the Japanese people need right now is temporary housing. 130,000 people are waiting for it, hence this first quick batch of money just 7 weeks post-disaster. The rest of the funding can wait, says Marcus Nolan at the Peterson Institute for International Economics.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to front-load spending if one is not actually in a position to spend the money.
Not in a position because the government has yet to prioritize longer-term spending, everything from new schools to ports to train tracks. And financially, the country is sagging under public debt, twice the size of its $5 trillion economy. And borrowing for reconstruction would just add to the tab. Another option is tax hikes. And a new poll suggests the Japanese are willing to play.
A majority of people are saying raise taxes to pay for this. It is quite an extraordinary consensus behind shared sacrifice.
Aside from the financial problems, there's the issue of that crippled nuclear plant at Fukushima, where 19 tons of water are still pumped in every hour to cool the damaged reactors. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, liposuction is the world's most popular plastic surgery. More than 500,000 surgeries are performed every year in this country. But a new study published in the medical journal Obesity says liposuction isn't a cure-all. Researchers at the University of Colorado found once fat is removed, well, it just moves on and regenerates in other parts of the body. The good news is that new fat takes about a year to find its new home, so there's always time to sneak in a milkshake or two, huh? I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles, on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Investors are waiting to see who Warren Buffett will pick to run Berkshire Hathaway. Fair bet, it will not be a family member.
The odds of having a son or daughter that are as driven as the founder of a business was, I think, are incredibly small.
I'm Tess Vigeland. Why it's in some companies' interests to choose an heir outside the family. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.